Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 328, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024.
3-6 Mafia in the building. It's also Mafia. National Dress Day, National Oreo Cookie Day, National White Chocolate Cheesecake, National Frozen Food Day.
Delectable.
And National Dentist Day. So shout out all the dental
coming
dental
in and cleaning up for all the other days.
Yeah.
Man, we got Oreo really. Cookie Day. Shout out to
National
Oreos.
Dress Day. It's just so, I think it's just like a day for like the finest gowns and dresses. Mm. Okay. That's, well, shout out the dress.
There you go. Shout out the dress.
Shout out to dress.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Crows Are Back. Back again. Eat these nuts. Be my friend. Crows are back. Crows are back. Crows are back. You know the rest. That's courtesy of the great Chrissy Yamaguchi main. I will say, so I am, thank you to the Zeit Gang for the tip on the almonds. It is still working out. The crows are still putting out a little paper bowl of almonds every day, and they are leaving the plants in my yard alone. They are.
Jennifer Moravito on Twitter. I remember
Shout
liking
out
that.
To you, Jennifer.
You came through, Jennifer, with that advice of how to make friends.
I got
with
that
the crows.
From multiple people. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, that was the one I saw on Twitter.
Some people were suggesting that I could just like train the, like, now I have a murder of crows at my
That'd
disposal.
Be sick. Yeah.
But so, like, the one issue I'm having is I want to get credit for the nuts. And so, like, I'll hear them, I'll run in the back and, like, fill up the bowl, but then they'll have flown away.
Right.
It's like, you know, when you, like, tip and when the person's back is to you, like, you put money in the tip jar when their back's
like,
to you.
And you wait.
You just, yeah.
Uh-huh. There you go. There you go. Yep. There it
I
is.
Usually give a audible, just going to leave that there. Just a little...
A little something for you, too.
A little something for you in the tip jar. In the old tip jar. The one on top.
How close are you to wearing a suit of bird feet? You know what I mean? So, like,
it's
Dave,
like,
there's
it's
no...
getting there.
There's no mistaking, like, who
it's
the source
there,
of these scrumptious vittles are.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't know. It's... We had some friends over, and at one point, you know, I was talking to someone. They were like, You seem distracted. And I was like, nah, the crows flew by in the background. I was just checking out the crows, seeing what they were up to.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I want to be friends with a murder.
Hey, speaking of friends, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
We're friends? Wow. AKA, we can snack upon the sweet teats with this box of spoons, watching Oompa Loompa, standing in a room. We can stand beside the bed sheets, signage by AI, eat a jelly bean, and watch the kids cry. Shout out to Cleo.universe. You know, Cleo, you've been in the Discord with a lot of banger fucking AKAs, and I love to see new members of Zeit Gang hop in the Discord and just deliver straight up volcanic rock heaters. Then that was obviously To the Tune of Santa Monica by Everclear. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't familiar with that one.
But, you don't know that?
It worked.
You know, the song goes, darn, darn. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know that one. That's that dun, that's dun, that old school Everclear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nah, 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 nah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, this is the podcast.
I'm still living with your ghost. Yeah. I think that's like the first word.
That was Everclear?
Yeah, how about that, bro?
Hey, Miles. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth seats by the host of the very fun true crime podcast, Ridiculous Crime, part of the Ridiculous History universe of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
The show is true crime, 99% murder free.
We like
that. What about my murds?
Get that somewhere else, bro.
Minute for the murds.
You're so into murder, hang out with them crows, bro.
And yet they managed to make a very fun podcast without all of my bloody murds. Please welcome Zarin Burnett and Elizabeth Dutton.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, fellas.
Thank you for going on. What's going on?
I was thinking about your tipping conundrum, right? And this is why the mafia worked this out. You got to put the money in your hand and then put it in their hand, and they know you tipped them. They figured this out. They're like, make sure they know, right?
Is that creepy if you do that?
You got to be smooth about it, though. That's the other challenge. You got to be real graceful.
They have that tip jar there for a reason. It's to avoid physical contact.
Yeah, no, totally. This is an older solution to the problem. Yeah.
Well, and you're in a long line at the bakery, and the you've been holding the money in your hand. It gets clammy.
Oh, yeah.
And then by the time they ring you up, then, you know.
That is
every bill I've ever held in my hand has been moist by the time it's handed over to somebody else. It's so gross.
Also, like, how do you, initiating the handshake after the transaction is complete, where they're like, all right, have a good day. You're like, yeah, man.
No, get back here.
Hovering up toward my face?
Why don't you touch it and find out? Something for you. I got something for you.
Surprise there for you.
It seems to be dripping water. So, guys, for real, though, what's your problem with murder? Come on.
Because, okay, here's my thing.
Yeah, Elizabeth, take this one.
The wonderful Ben Bolin and Noel Brown, they you know, gave us this opportunity from the mothership of Ridiculous History. And, you know, it's this ridiculous crime, right? And so we're talking about, well, what are we going to joke around about? And I can't, I don't know, I had a problem with making light of, like, the last moment of someone's life or the worst day of their friends or family's lives.
Yeah.
And there's really not a lot of true crime stuff out there that's just purely, like, the other, not murderous.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about dead ladies. I think there's a big cultural fixation on dead ladies. So, it's easier to joke around. And everything we talk about is, like, you know, we're all basically one bad decision away from being on the show. So, like, it's more relatable. It's like, I'm not one bad decision away from taking someone's life, but I am one bad decision from, like, being hauled off an airplane when it lands, you know, because I caused a ruckus. So that's kind of where we got with the 99% murder free, and people are into it.
Yeah, they love the no dead ladies.
I appreciate it. It's good for the vibe.
What's the 1%? When's that? What happens when that 1% creeps in?
That's usually me. It's usually because I cover stories that involve cocaine, the mafia, Pablo Escobar. Murder creeps in from the edges. I can't help it.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a cocaine story without some bodies.
Exactly.
You can't be. There's no, like, murder-free trafficking.
You named cocaine, a group that's associated with cocaine trafficking, and the world's biggest cocaine trafficker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cocaine, the mob, and Pablo Escobar.
So
you got, like, kind of a cokey vibe.
Ridiculous cocaine.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I also feel like you learn stuff. It's a great way to view history. It's a good history podcast. You know, a lot of history podcasts you're hearing about senators and dukes and, you know, the people who are in positions of power who are always boring and
Way more street level.
Yeah, well, street level, yeah. Just like a people's history.
It's fun to tell these stories and then orient them in history. What else is happening at this time that kind of informs people's choices and the weird stuff that goes on? So
yeah, and it provides context of like, why would someone want to be trying to, you know, kidnap some guy off the streets of Chicago and take his testicles? You're like, well, you have to understand there was a whole scientific movement leading up to this decision.
Great Depression.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're thrilled to have you guys. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Mm-hmm. First, we're going to check in with a couple of the stories that we're talking about. Donald Trump is planning to, he's floated a policy that experts, whatever that means, say would create a public health catastrophe. So we'll talk about that and just generally how much people are letting in about what he's planning to do in a second term, because he's said some wild shit. Are people hearing it? Not really. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about a guy in Las Vegas getting stung on the ball sack by a scorpion, which this is a scam or no scam segment that I think we've created specifically for you guys.
I was just like, I saw it and I was just so, I had my own feelings. I'm like, wait, this also works for our guests.
Yeah.
This is so in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. We love a little bit of testicular venom trauma.
Yes. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about shrinkflation. We'll talk about the Kellogg CEO's pitch for cereal for dinner. And like, I had assumed he was just like throwing that out there. And the second he said it, he was like, cool, that was a bad one. That was a bad look. But this is a policy, like a full on campaign. There is an ad featuring Tony the Tiger that I could not wrap my head around from Kellogg's that just has him like burst into people's dining room and start chanting cereal for dinner. And then like the family starts chanting that too back at him. It's like this weird, like thought stopping thing. I think it's all part of a plot to just make us more docile.
Kellogg's did start with the culty vibes. Remember, there's a guy out there in Battle Creek going, don't masturbate, eat some cornflakes.
Exactly.
I mean, he's always, they've always had this energy.
Yes. And you know, number one on the cult, like how to start a cult. One of the things you learn is you deprive your followers of protein.
Oh, there you go.
So that they're more docile and pliable. And cereal for dinner would be one way to do that.
Yeah. But use water instead of milk. Don't even get that protein from milk.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got to be like thin oat milk. You're like doing skim oat milk. Like, don't shake the oat milk. Just do the watery part up top.
Yeah, up top.
You ever live with anybody who like put in something like an alternative to milk or water for cereal? Like someone who put in like orange juice or like beer or like anything horrendous? No. Oh, yeah.
Wait, you knew somebody like that?
Oh, yeah. Tomato juice was one. Orange juice was another. Juice. Beer was a third. I've known three different guys who all put cereal into different fluids.
Were you those three different guys?
No. In this case, it was not me.
And then do they have any chance of parole or they're on death row forever?
No, they're all currently locked up. So we don't have to worry about them. So
okay, right.
Yeah, you're
trying
all
to kidnap Jimi Hendrix?
I don't believe in the carceral system, but there's some things I'm like, those people are dangerous.
That's just not right-minded.
All right. But before we get to any of it, we do like to ask our guests, Zarin, Elizabeth, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, or what is one of the most recent things that you have screen capped that is revealing about who you are?
Elizabeth, ladies first.
Oh, thank you, sir. I was just looking, I was doing an image search yesterday, psychic horses. That was for social media for the episode that dropped today from us. And then, you know, I was looking at my search history and it's just a lot of like misspelled things. Or I go to hit the space bar and I hit period instead. So it's like, you know, rigatoni dot pasta dot recipe.
Rigatoni. Yeah.
So anyway, that's not
prison
very thrilling.
Pasta.
Yeah. Rigatoni.
Yeah. Not particularly thrilling, but psychic horses.
Psychic horses are a common scam, right?
Oh my God, they're everywhere.
Surprisingly.
I can't leave the house without, you know, every day encountering one. In front, you know, yeah, they're everywhere.
You never hear about like a psychic beaver. You don't hear about a prognosticating owl. No, it's always the psychic horse.
Horses, yeah.
And why don't we give dogs? Because dogs also, like, isn't the way that the scam is pulled off a lot of the time communication between, mm-hmm. like, unspoken communication between owner, between human and horse?
Yeah, yes. Like, yeah, totally.
So yeah, it's called the Clever Hans effect, actually.
Yeah. And so why aren't dogs being used in this way? Is it because we don't, like, they don't have a mystique about them? So we're just
they're
like, dogs
ethical.
Are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
They're not. Oh, you think the dogs are rejecting?
The dogs are like, hey, man, I can't do this. No, like, thanks. This isn't right. We're taking that lady's life savings now.
Yeah. I think dogs are jocks. That's why they're in the AKC. They just want to compete. They don't want to like do spelling contests. They're just not into that, man. Can I run? I want to. Where's the ball? Is
or
there something I can jump
they're
over?
They're rascally. They can't be depended on to participate
That's
properly.
That's also a good one. Yeah.
I think also there's probably like a power of being like, hold on, let me get next to the horse because it's like a bigger animal that you're like, okay. Uh-huh. Like, I think visually seeing like somebody like embrace the horse, you're like, no, man, the horse is fucking spitting game.
There's something right like inherently mystical about horses that I think impresses people, impresses me. I've lost a lot of money to psychic horse scams. So I'm just wondering where this is, where this starts in me.
Yeah, let's investigate that for you. Yeah.
We also we measure power by horses. I mean, clearly we understand the pull and the compulsion of a horse. So,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I mean, they're tools of colonization, too. So they've got a storied history.
Is that true in the psychic community, too? Are they like, this psychic has like 45 horsepower?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Psychic brain. So they.
This thing's got a fucking V12 up there, man.
Smack that top of their head. You know how many psychics you can back in?
How about you, Zarem? What's something from your search history? Or
okay, so I was looking, and I had a lot of stuff from work, and I'm not going to tell you my work stuff because it's all like, oh, of course you'd be looking at B.B. King. But the one thing that I did look up on my own was foreign accent syndrome. You familiar with foreign accent syndrome, right?
One of my favorite syndromes.
Yeah, it strikes dozens of people every century. It's okay, so I looked it up just because I wanted, you know, to make a joke with Elizabeth about it because I just happened to, I don't know, best way to put this is that would be one occurrence I'd be like, you know what, that'd be kind of cool to get. You know, I'd be like, oh man, it'd be really funny to me. But then I realized it would only be funny that one day. The first day it happened, after that, you're like, please doctor, how do I get rid of this? So I was looking, how do they get rid of foreign accent syndrome? The only treatment is learn to sing. That's what they tell you, because hopefully, because, you know, like when you listen to someone who sings like the Beatles, it doesn't sound like an English accent as much as it sounds like singing.
Mm-hmm. So except Green Day, who develop an English accent when they sing only.
Yes, exactly. Right. See, they would be able to get rid of their, you know, fake English accent by singing an American accent. Exactly. So they'd be like, okay, I'm back. But you know who had this apparently for a little while? George Michael, the singer. So he was a singer, and he was able to get rid of it really quickly because he
was
a singer.
What was his accent?
He had West Country accent. It's the an English accent.
Sure.
I don't know English accents well enough. I wouldn't be able to say, like, oh, yeah, that's not an up country.
Yeah, but that's not the big, like, step away from most of these people.
Most of them is like a whole continent.
Right. It's usually like some English lady who gets like a really offensive Chinese
That's
accent.
That's the classic one.
I remember that one.
Sarah Colwell. Yeah. They did a whole show on her.
And you're just like, for real? Like, really, lady?
Yes, it sounds
like,
mad racist. You're like, come on, lady.
You're like, no, this doesn't happen.
You're like, you're just a bad comic. Like, I don't know what you're doing. You're
so like,
no,
you're doing an extended bit.
George Michael goes like 50 miles away.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It also, it normally happens to women at like 87% to men's 13%. So it's
wow.
Yeah, it's based on the brain, the Broca region of the brain. So when a person has a lesion or a stroke, all of a sudden this happens and then they can't do anything about it.
So like you can hit me in a particular place on my head and we can try and make this happen.
We're much more likely for you. No matter how many times we hit me in the head, it's probably unlikely.
Yeah,
all right, accent roulette. Go get a golf club.
All right,
next one. Do the next one.
Bonk. Is it usually based on something they have experience with? Like does the person... Who developed?
No,
it's just like an accent they saw on TV.
Yeah,
once,
the Chinese
and suddenly
accent.
They're like,
not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not even that they know the accent. It sounds like the accent. Like there was this Norwegian woman, she had it where her accent suddenly sounded German to everybody. So they couldn't stand it and they made her leave town. They exiled her because her accent sounded German. So it wasn't that it was like so crazy. It just, her accent no longer sounded Norwegian. They're like, oh no, you sound like a Norwegian. It's a German speaking Norwegian. Out of here.
And that was just a couple weeks ago, right? The one who got
exactly.
exiled
that was
from town.
In January.
What is something you guys guys think is underrated?
Oh, you know what I was thinking about this? Body bags.
As in murder bags?
Yeah.
Show us the bodies.
These are the workhorses, right? And we go through a lot in this world, a lot of body bags. And I think people don't say, I mean, how else are you going to transport these bodies?
Second
after
last destination of the body. Yeah.
Natural disasters. So you know what? It's underrated. The workhorse of the criminal.
Yeah. You need those things to be pretty sturdy. You don't want any like kind of makeshift cloth coffin flops happening.
Well,
right.
Every now and then body bags come into my, you know, consciousness because ages ago, back when I was on Facebook, I got followed by a body bag company.
Get out of town.
And I don't know why. And really? They just was on my author page. Uh-huh. And I guess it's like, whatever. And they would comment and people would be like, you know.
That seems like a threat.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But I was like, oh, I made it.
Right.
The body bag folks are into it. Yeah. So I don't know. They just popped into my head the other day.
I wonder if anyone's ever like been in a tight spot like for luggage and just travel, like put their clothes in a body bag.
That's and, a like, good idea. And I have a giant duffel bag that's,
yeah.
you know.
It's like a duffel and a half bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hockey bags, you can fit
truly, get them
like,
cheap, too.
All of your belongings. So, yeah, I wonder if body bags, and would that just be too weird to just see a body bag roll out on the
not in hockey.
Belt?
I think in hockey it would give you an advantage. If you brought that as your hockey bag, I think you would be like, oh, he's
oh,
a
yeah.
yeah, but if
the
you're
undertaker.
Like the yeah, luggage exactly. terminal at like baggage claim,
no,
it
that's
just
right. it's weird.
Slides
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
It's that's too lumpy. You would really need the clothes to be nice and tightly. Yeah.
Yeah. Duct tape them.
Yeah. How about you, Zarin? What's something you
mine is a much, much broader topic. Just minor league baseball. Just the idea of minor league baseball. I'm a big fan of baseball, but they have taken our hometown team away, the Oakland A's. And so now I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to drop down a league. I'm going to relegate my fandom down to minor league baseball. So I've been looking around. I'm looking at becoming a fan of the Modesto Nuts. We also got the fabulous Sacramento Rivercats, the Stockton Ports. But then I was looking, right? And I was like, okay, there's got to be other teams that are out there that I can like get on. And like, I found, all right, there is a ton of cool teams, not just like the Toledo Mud Hens and like the classic Bull Durham.
Or there's, the Bananas.
Oh, yeah, the Savannah Bananas. There's the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Are you kidding? Ooh.
Yes, I could become a fan of the Sugarland Space Cowboys. How Hell about the yeah. Omaha Storm Chasers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right? Okay, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
What is
Go
that
Iron
even?
Pigs.
What? Yeah. I don't know. What is an Iron Pig? Like,
so
I'm sure there's a history,
too.
Right?
So an Iron Pig is just like they flipped it, right? It turns out that this is like a steel person's joke. It's there in the Lehigh Valley, and the pig iron is actually what it comes from. So they turned it into Iron Pig. Pig iron is a type of iron that's used for steel. So they just took like something only they know about. They're like, hey, how about this?
That's
a little inside joke.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love going to minor league games because it's like, everyone thinks, oh, it's so intimate. But the players can hear when people are yelling stuff. I lived in Las Vegas for a little bit, and I went to one of the games there. And someone was heckling the first baseman, like third row, all about like how his wife had left him.
Wow.
And it just kept escalating. And people were like, knock it off, man. And he just wouldn't stop.
Come
and the
on,
guy
Phil.
The guy could hear him because it was so close.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
I would talk tough. I was like, you know, you never catch a fly ball generally when you go to a major league game.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh, well, minor league, I'm much more likely, there's fewer fans. I got better odds. So I'm talking tough to the guy who's with me.
Kids are easier to push over.
That was the thing, though, man. Okay, so it turns out there was all of a sudden a foul ball, and it comes rocketing into the stands. And I was like, looking at the ball come in, I was like, oh, man. So I ducked because that was coming like basically chest high. And then right behind me is like this 10-year-old kid. And you hear this, and I was like, oh, no. I felt terrible. They stopped the game. They like bring the bell player. He comes out to give the kid like a signed bat because they feel so terrible.
Oh, and shit. A body bag.
I spent the rest of the game like having to like live down like, oh, yeah, I want a ball so bad. Well, apparently not Burnett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not built for it.
Exactly.
There was something that happened recently at Inter Miami, whatever the club Messi plays for in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
He tried a free kick and it hit a baby in the first row. And then, like, everyone was like you can hear him be like, no, it was Messi though. You got hit by a ball from Messi. No, you're good.
Yeah.
Blessed with life, that child.
Yeah.
How about what's something you guys think is overrated?
Well, I think because I have to hold it together and be 99% murder-free all the time, my overrated is bulletproof vests.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, you still can get shot in the head, or you fellas can get hit in the ding-ding. And it's like, you know.
That's life-changing, either one of those.
You're more likely to survive a lot of center mass shots than the head shots. So I think, you know, the whole bulletproof vest thing is overrated.
Yeah, what about everywhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about everywhere
else? Kneecapped. You get kneecapped. That's, you know.
That's supposed to be bad, I hear.
Right.
One of the most painful, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So... that's my, you know, I like conversation killers, and there you go.
Gets you thinking. Gets you thinking.
Yeah. What about you, Zarin?
Well, I got you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
If you want a conversation killer, mine is gentle parenting or just generally kids. I think that they're overrated, right? Now, not like children themselves, the concept, but the way that people talk about kids these days, like, oh, I'm into gentle parenting. I want to respect my child's autonomy. Okay, look. I'm not a parent, but I was parented, right? And I remember this. And okay, you guys remember being kids, right?
No.
No? Well, you also kind of remember, I'm sure, some of the kids, total shitheads, right?
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. So some of these kids out there still just tiny terrors. Well, I'm asking if I'm at the airport and the parents are like, oh, here's an iPad, and the kid's still being a tiny terror. Look, just talk to them, engage with them. It's not difficult. It's, what is it? The fair, be fair, consistent, present. That's it. I'm not saying, like, you know, beat the child, but I mean, like, just engage with the child instead of this, well, I'm trying to respect their autonomy. I don't think that's helping. And I remember being personally a problem child. It was always the tough teachers that I loved. It was always the people who were like, look, I expect more of you. And I'm like, well, looking back, they really did raise the bar for me. Anybody who played down to me, I was like, okay, I can play them like a chump. I think that these other kids are thinking the same thing. Nothing has changed. So I'm saying, let's maybe raise our bar for kids a little. That's all. You know, maybe I'm not putting it on parents.
To children. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily meaner. Just expect more of them. Meaner. You know, be like, hey, like, look, come on now. Act like you've been here.
Yeah. Hey, act like you've been here. Yeah. Call them by their last name.
Exactly. Call by
come
the
on, Burnett. Act like you've been here before. Quit playing grab bass down there. Yeah.
No, you guys keep fucking horsing around.
The iPad parenting is definitely...
Oh, yeah.
It's a temptation that is always there. It's like you can just immediately give your child the equivalent of a very powerful tranquilizer.
Exactly.
At any time during the day.
Yeah.
And they're constantly begging for it.
Give me the trank, daddy.
Like, on the other hand, there's a reason, like, tranquilizers have been around for a while. We don't do that because it's fucking unhealthy for them. Yeah. But yeah. Especially on flights, like in when you're traveling with a kid, it's
more like when they're waiting for the plane, like when they're in the gate, the kids are running around and like knocking into old ladies and stuff. I'm like, all right, well, come on. We all saw that 4-year-old is going to take out the old lady. I mean, come on,
right.
Dad. Yeah. I understand the kid needs to run before he gets on the plane, but maybe run with him, you know, run down the escalator. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, like, let's try and get into a secured area that only TSA employees can
Exactly, kid. Let's get you on a no-fly list.
Exactly.
Teach him about form tackling.
You know? Wrap up low, son.
Because you do always hear people be like, what do you want me to do? They're like, they're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, they're a kid, man.
Like, I don't know. Shake them.
I get that in some context when, like, kids are having fun, but, like, I've seen times where, like, kids are, like, fucking trying to go into, like, the kitchen of a restaurant.
And yeah.
It's like,
well,
hold on, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, that's not...
seriously.
There are literal boundaries that you have
to draw. You're a kid. He's trying to kick in the pilot's door?
No, he's not a
cockpit?
Oh, come on, he's a kid. Let him get some hours in on the fry-o-lator.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. Have you guys seen the Donald Trump guy? Have you heard about him? What is going on with this guy? All right, we'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back.
And
you guys heard of this Donald Trump guy?
Have you guys seen this Donald Trump? You seen this? You heard about this?
No, tell me more.
So this campaign occasionally is feeling like just keeping a running tally of the deranged soundbites from each candidate.
Oh, yeah.
However, this weekend, Trump was really like putting some numbers on the board.
Yeah.
He referred to the country of Argentina as a great guy.
Great guy.
called Biden Obama, likened migrants to Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs. He said, they're rough people, in many cases from jails, prisons, from mental institutions, insane asylums. You know, insane asylums, that's Silence of the Lambs stuff. Hannibal Lecter. Anybody know Hannibal Lecter?
And I love that he said he had to survey the audience. Anybody heard of him?
Okay. Well, he's like a fucking comic. He's just always doing crowd.
Yeah. Well, and then he also had a lot of trouble. I mean, he also had a lot of speaking errors, too. He was running up the score on, like, trying to say things as well. But hey, that's just part of the campaign from all candidates.
I feel like every person during the course of their life has a certain amount of drunkenness to get through. And even if you don't drink, as is his case, he's just like burning out all the drunkenness now.
Well, doesn't he have that theory that everyone is born with a certain amount of energy?
Yes.
You just have a certain amount of energy.
Right. So he has that with drunkenness too.
Yeah.
He's got to burn through it.
It's also burning through, just plowing lines of Adderall, I think.
Well, yeah, there's that
too. Also has something to do with him slurring and not seeming fully coherent. But sandwiched amongst this sea of bullshit was a new concerning campaign promise that probably deserves more attention than the mainstream media is giving it. He declared in Virginia that, as he's been hinting at since last year, if he is elected president, he will withhold funding for schools that have a vaccine requirement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. They were cheering. It was wild. People were like, and I think some people were like, wait, I think that's bad.
Wait a second.
Like, iron lungs vaccine? All around.
Which and he vaccine? Kept it general, like not just COVID. He means like everything, MMR,
it's
like
not
anything.
Clear.
Okay.
But yeah. I think he's playing to a crowd that would
doesn't
probably
care.
Not distinguish between those.
Sure.
They
sure,
would. Yeah. Hey, they're not saying you can't get the vaccine. They're just saying they want their freedom as Americans to not get a vaccine.
To bring back polio!
To practice vaccine safety is like the fucking phrasing that you hear with these people.
Well, you know, we haven't said rubella in a long time.
There's
but
a big,
I maybe we should.
It's
there's
a beautiful
measles
word.
Thing in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Measles is running rampant.
Yes,
what
is.
About mumps?
Yeah.
What about mumps? Mumps? Hitting?
Mumps flipping is fun. Kind of makes me want to shake
what
my shoulders.
What the fuck is even
bit.
Mumps now that I think about it?
It's, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't
know.
It usually affects the
situation.
Glands on each side of the face. These glands called, okay,
that's got to be really painful.
Yeah.
Woo. Huh. Oh, yeah, yeah. God. Okay, well, hey, man, freedom. It's all about freedom, bringing
you
mumps back, bringing polio back.
It's you have that thing with the vaccines and the whole like science denial, but I also, when they're putting it into the schools, they have like this larger plan to dismantle public education.
Yeah, to make it a place you don't want to put your kids.
Right.
Yeah, it's a two-edged sword that works for them in a number of ways that they're excited about. Yeah.
And then like siphon it to like charter schools. Well, they'll just teach like white
nationals.
Privatize everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But experts, which, you know, we trust those guys as far as we can throw them, but experts have warned that this could create, quote, a public health catastrophe for the nation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Peter Hotez from Baylor, who like, you know, was like one of, you know, really out there during COVID, like sounding the alarm and telling people about like what the risks are. But in fact, he's like, that's don't just fucking cut the brakes on this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'd be like, well, you know what? Cull the herd. But it's not going to affect
kills
just
the rest
those,
of us. This is the one that kills the rest of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can all have mumps together.
So, right. Yeah. Oh my God, it'll be so fun. Team building. We haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers on where he's coming down on this, so we're waiting to pass judgment. But you know,
the real expert. We're waiting.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, what essential oils do you use for mumps?
It's a combination.
It's aromatherapy, actually.
Oh, it's just aromatherapy.
Yeah. Well, it's that and colloidal silver, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen
Got
Mother
it.
God, but you kind of want to do something like that.
Or maybe emu oil.
Show.
Is that helpful?
You want to rub that on the scalp.
Yeah, just, gently.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And then fill a bath full of eucalyptus leaves and just breathe that
Perfect.
In.
Perfect.
Yeah. But anyway, Perfect. But these are all things that we can do to fight off the coming, I don't know, retro pandemic that's coming. Anyway, but despite all this stuff, it looks like voters are pretty chill about Trump not being a dictator or being one. They don't know because a lot of the Biden campaign, like their electoral messaging is their strategy hinges on Biden reminding voters that Trump is indeed a wacky piece of shit that is bad for America. Mm-hmm. And they've been very explicit about this. And that makes the findings of a recent poll a little unsettling. There was a poll that was asking people in swing states that was specifically designed to only include people that potentially actually vote for Biden, meaning no one who voted Trump for in 2020 was, you know, none of their answers were taking into the analysis, or people that believe the election was stolen. Those people's answers were also left out of the analysis. So again, these are voters in swing states that potentially could vote for Biden. The poll asked these people about 10 of Trump's, quote, most authoritarian statements, things like how he would like terminate parts of the Constitution, that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country, his vow to pardon January 6th rioters, the promise to prosecute the Biden family with no evidence, his threat to, quote, inflict mass persecution on the, quote, vermin opposition. Only 31% of respondents said they previously had heard about these statements by Trump. They're like, oh, that's what he said? Oh, interesting. That isn't
didn't
great.
Didn't he say he also wanted to like do it? Did they include the one where he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do a dictatorship except on day one.
Day one.
That's when
day
I'm going
to. Just day one. Right. Just day one. Enough to kick it off. And then I'll let my minions do the work. But yeah, so not great if you're betting the farm on, you know, screaming about how Trump's, you know, what his record is. But I guess the positive news here is that when people did hear about this, their feelings changed. So people began to see him as, quote, out for revenge. That jumped up by 5 points after hearing this. The percentage who see him as, quote, dangerous rose by 9 points. And the percentage who see him as a dictator went up 7 points. And a lot of like the accepted wisdom in D.C. is that like people already know that this guy's dangerous. You know, right. Like just stop wasting your time. But this poll says otherwise. About a third of people were like, huh, what? So at least there's room for people to get rightly freaked out, I guess, is the silver lining here. There's room for more freak out.
Silver lining.
I suppose
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Freak out's a weird thing because you have to manage it, though, because if you get people freaked out, they don't want to stay freaked out. So then they'll stop listening to you if you freak them out for too long. So you have to only freak them out in spurts, basically.
Right.
And there's also the problem is essentially that we're talking about this Trump issue. I think here's a good analogy. It's like a crime, right? You cannot go to the police and say, hey, I want you to investigate this crime until there's a crime. You can tell people what Trump's going to do, but they won't believe you until he's done it. But we can't have him do it because then he's done it. So it's the issue of we have to think differently about it. So there was this woman who called the police and she wanted them to find her missing, I think it was her sister. And instead of saying it was her missing sister, she phoned in that her sister's car was stolen. They found the missing car and they found the sister. They would not have looked for her sister otherwise, but they knew that the cops would go to find the missing property, car, the stolen car, because they care about property and it's easier for them to look for, blah, 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 blah.
Right. A car, I'm thinking, you don't think they're messaging. Not like, give us 48 hours before.
Exactly. Yeah. Before
the car needs to be gone 48 hours before we consider it stolen.
Yeah. Yeah, they won't come up with all that stuff. So I think that the Democratic, you know, strategists need to think about the stolen car messaging of how they can manage this moment, because they're going to have months that they have to freak people out about Trump and you do not want to turn them off. So pick your moments.
They got to do a little bit of freak out edging, I guess.
Exactly.
Is what they got to do with the populace.
That's right.
Don't fucking go
too
hard.
Boil.
Slow. Yes, exactly. But I think it just reveals sort of like to your point, like this disparity between how elected officials like wonks and like Capitol Hill reporters see things and how normal everyday voters do.
Yes.
Again, that's why like hinging this whole thing on telling people about how Trump couldn't be as your entire strategy. I don't know. You also kind of need to do more to help people understand also what your vision is. It's like being on the dating game, right? And like you're courting one of the contestants and they say, oh, suitor number one. What's your favorite romantic date? And they go, let me tell you about suitor number two. He's a dangerous piece of shit.
Right.
Fuck that dude. He's wild. He's crazy.
Yeah, you can't like, see him, but I see him. I'm right here next to him. Yeah.
Rodney and Alcala.
As the person who's like the one about to go on the date, they're like, okay, what about you, though? Can we talk about you? Well, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. You ain't seen suitor number three yet. So
it's like, well, okay, that's like, what are you going to do? That's another part of the really process here that they really need to actually understand. Like, that's good to sound the alarm, but you also need to give people a vision of the future they can invest in that, you know, and I know this is hard for the establishment Democratic Party, but like, you know, can you do something a little bit more than the status quo? That might also help too.
Yeah. swing with both hands. Like, you know, use that right for the attack and use the left for like, okay, defense. Like, okay, I'm going to keep Trump off, but tell me what you're going to do too. Right. I think it's a really good point, which is you hear the voters saying that, and yet Democrats tend to, at least at the national level, want to maintain a momentum machine rather than like they talk about the threats to what you may lose from the other party, as you're saying, but they never talk about where it's going to go. It's just been, oh, you're just going to keep going the way it's going. You love this. Don't you love stuff? All the stuff you have, it's great. No, that's not going to work.
The stuff that they claim they're going to do.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because they've hit the sort of like end of the rope, because exactly. At this point, if they go further, they're like, I guess, do we defund the police? I guess, do we actually do something about the climate, like in a really aggressive way?
I think that's the thing. You got to be brave about it.
Yeah, right. The voters have made it clear.
They're not being brave about any kind of stance. You know, you're trying to play the middle, and I understand that.
Well,
but
when
you look back historically at the big movements that have helped our society, they're brave.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you kind of go out on a limb. So it's like you're saying the 1-2 punch of like, look at this really bold thing we're going to do. P.S. This guy's fucking out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I want the FDR, you know, the LBJ. Give me like the fight and the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want the FDR in the sense that I want polio to come back.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah, we are working on that.
6 months, right. Don't worry.
Right.
The dating game analogy, I made reference to Rodney Alcala, the serial killer who was on the dating game, and he won that shit. So maybe... Yeah. I don't know what the other contestant strategy was. If they,
I wonder
like,
if the guy was like, "This guy's a murderer."
I think he's a murderer. I'm pretty sure this guy is wanted for murder.
I don't know. Straight up, a hater.
And they're like, "Oh my god, this guy's intriguing.
So negative.
Yeah. Why are you guys like so obsessed with him? I'm so intrigued now." Yeah, he went on the date, and the date ended prematurely because the person found him creepy.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It was unfortunately, his nice collection.
Unfortunately, in the case of Trump, on day one, when he's like, dictatorship, it will be too late for us to find him creepy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the Democrats, why can't they talk about what he did the first time he was president and say, and then connect that to what he's going, what he says he wants to do. Talk about what he actually has done, his actions, and then go, and he wants to do more of that if they're going to talk about it rather than just wagging a finger and being like, you know what he's going to do? Because then it sounds like he's got all this power. Like this guy's just going to get in there and do stuff. Mm-hmm. People, his voters, I mean, a lot of the moderates, they kind of dig the idea that this guy has some energy and plans to do something. So don't give him credit for wanting to do stuff because it backfires for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dictatorship, I think, like after, you know, like we mentioned, a lot of people's disillusionment with the Democratic Party is their propensity to be like, well, we promised this, but we've thrown up their hands, like the powers that be. Yeah, it's like, you're the president. Aren't you the powers that be?
Well, and I swear to God, if any like top politician comes at me with, you know, you got to get out and vote. I'm like, look, bitch, I voted and you haven't done anything about it. Stop telling me to vote because I keep voting. I keep voting.
Right.
And then it's what you at some point you got to hold up your end of the bargain here.
Right. But I do wonder if like, you know, there have been a lot of interviews and polls with Trump's supporters that indicate that they're not voting for him in spite of the dictatorial vibes, but because of the dictatorial vibes and because people are like, yeah, it's time for something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mussolini, I don't know. Guy had real energy, had riz. So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the guy who got stung on the ball sack by a scorpion. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back.
We're back.
And
hi
where did you guys go? We go into a black void during air breaks.
Oh yeah, I just pass out.
I went into my Phil Hartman group chat.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh nice. Yeah
nice.
I warged into a crow and ate a bunch of shit off Jack.
Ate a bunch. What the wait a second,
hold on 1 second, Jack.
Get out of
oh,
there.
Oh man. But in other very serious news, you know, maybe one of the worst ads for the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas I've ever seen. A man was woken up to a scorpion sting on his ball bag as he slept. I'm just going to play.
You said that in like perfect local news.
I had to because it's just wild to hear. Let me play the local
scorpion sting on his ball bag.
Ball bag. So this is, I'm going to just play this little snippet of the local news in Las Vegas describing the story.
Man staying at the Venetian Christmas week says he was awoken by something, but sometime during the night, he woke up to pain that he found when he was stung by a scorpion in his testicles.
In his ball bag.
I just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area. It felt like a sharp glass or a knife.
Michael Farchi says he continued to investigate the source of that pain, and that's when he found something.
I went to the restroom, and I saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear.
These are photos from that day, December 26th, that Farchi and his attorney shared with me. You can see the scorpion.
Any idea on how this scorpion got in? They never told you how he got in the room?
They don't know.
Did he ever tell you? Were they saying the scorpion? Yeah, did you ask ever tell scorpion? You how he got in there? Did you guys see the man seated next to him? Lawyer?
Hard to miss him.
Yeah.
Okay, because anyway, so when I look at this, when I saw this, I'm like, okay, what is is this guy scamming? What's happening? Did he really get hit? Stung on the ball bag. It's not I don't know how easily you can prove it, but I'm just, you know, just from my cursory research, it does look like he was stung by a bark scorpion, which are very common in Clark County. So in terms of species, it's tracking. The part where my ignorance is making me suspicious is sort of like, how'd he get up? How many flights? How many stories did the
scorpion
ascend?
Were you on?
Yeah.
Oh, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah.
Because you think about, like, I don't know if you've ever worked in a store like where you have to stock stuff and you open up like the shipping containers that come in. There's all sorts of stuff happening there. Because if you think about like if the supplies are in like a loading dock and you could get scorpions in it, and then it goes into like the housekeeping cart or something like that. And there are some wild things out in the desert. And so I'm kind of not surprised.
Yeah. It goes on a smoke break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets caught a hitchhiker.
Caught
a hitchhiker on the pan. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think maybe for me, I think the main reason is because of the way this guy's lawyer looks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like
this dude next to him, like what? He's wearing a fedora and like J-Lo glasses from like
fedora
the aughts.
Way too small for his head.
Yeah. Way too small for that.
He looks like he's hiding from the European mafia. Some European mafia. I don't know which one, but he's hiding from them.
Or he's having like an identity crisis in his late 70s. And he's like, I'm going to dress like an Al Pacino character that does Molly. And also going to get engaged in some frivolous lawsuits. So to me, I'm like, I don't know, bro. Based on your lawyer, now I'm like suspicious. Like I was with you. I'm like, yo, the scorpion tracks. I can see now as how a scorpion can ascend the many stories into the room. Mm-hmm. But the lawyer, I'm like, and also, like, I don't think this is like he's the dude who's like brings scorpions with him, and he's like, "All right, now do your thing. Let's get a free hotel stay."
Right.
So
grab on
the
scorpion.
Is the more likely version here was that he was probably legit stung, but the hotel probably truly didn't give a fuck. They're like, "What you gonna do, man? It's Vegas."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they didn't offer enough money for his suffering, he was like, yo, bro, let me get lawyered up and go on the local news and try and maybe get a settlement or something.
Yeah.
Get some
spider bite doesn't sell. Scorpion bite, that sells.
But he picks a crap lawyer because if you got a good lawyer who didn't wear the fedora and the J-Lo glasses, you wouldn't be on the local news. You'd just be like high level
You want to avoid the local news altogether.
Oh,
My rule of thumb is don't go on local news. It never ends well. Like, if there's a natural disaster, you're not going to catch me out there being, the earthquake.
We didn't see it coming. We were out on our street when doesn't help stupid. Anybody.
So that's a good rule of thumb. And especially if you're in like a legal situation, don't go on the news.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that was suspicious to me is that they have a photograph of a dead scorpion on the crotch of his underwear.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is so it never like it was still like stuck hanging on there. It feels posed. It feels very posed.
It was hanging and then using its stinger to get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I don't know. Do we have pictures of his ball sack?
And how was he threatening the
scorpion?
Like,
let's see proof that this actually happened.
Yeah, because this photo is like, look, it's on the ball area of my underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did one of its like pincers get stuck in the fabric? That's why it's still there. He's like, oh, shit, they're not going to believe me. I better place the scorpion where my balls were.
Do I want to see this guy's balls? No.
No.
Do I want an expert to look at it and tell me if he ever said, go ahead.
Because it sounds like, and I've looked at how to treat these, it's like, you can go to the hospital, but also, like, it sounds like something you can kind of treat on your own if it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So,
bag of ice, some Tylenol, I'm thinking you're going to be good.
Yeah, right. A little cold compress or something like that. But it's the lawyer. It's just wild how much, like a weird, skeevy-looking lawyer can completely, like, threaten the credibility of something. I'm like,
Have you seen that Casey Wolfman, the Chiefsaholic, the guy who was robbing banks so he could go to Chiefs games?
Yeah.
His lawyer makes him look all the way guilty. You're just like, oh, man, you're going to jail. And he just pled guilty. So, I think your point is well made. You know, you can kind of judge a case by the lawyer.
Yeah.
That guy just hangs out in the Venetian, like, blackjack table and waits for somebody to run by screaming. And he's like, all right, time to make money, people. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Everyone's, he looks like McLovin is what one person on Twitter said about his lawyer. Yeah.
He's a whole little, he should be his own miniseries.
Right.
All right. Well, Kellogg's is in the news for a couple reasons. One reason, not the main reason, they have announced a new rentable Eggo House of Pancakes.
Rentable,
which is
nailed the branding on that one.
Yeah, Eggo, known for their pancakes. Lego, my pancake. It's also weird because it looks like the location for a horror movie set in the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs universe. But it's just a syrupy fuck shack that they're kind of thrown out there, hoping that people don't pay attention to the other reason they've been in the news lately, which is their CEO, Gary Pilnick, went on CNBC and boldly suggested that families struggling with rising food costs should simply consider eating cereal for dinner.
Yeah, it's actually worse when you hear the guy say it out loud, like in a way where he's like, hey, here's an idea. Here he is. Here's Gary Pilnick.
The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure. So some of the things that we're doing is first messaging. We got to reach the consumer where they are. So we're advertising about cereal for dinner. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. The other places that we like to go is we talk about making sure we have the right pack at the right price.
Anyway, so he goes on and like
he has this look of like just dismissiveness. And we're just like, we're going to like throw it out there to him because you think about that, that's way affordable. He is sitting in a tropical location in front of a fountain that has a lion spitting water. Like, I'm pretty sure it's a Ritz-Carlton.
It's very Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. Right.
100%. And he has his like shirt unbuttoned with like a blazer. And he just seems like he is on the verge of just being like, these piggies, they'll fucking eat it up. They'll slop it up. They're fucking disgusting little pigs.
Right. It's very much the, like, let them eat cake, but let them eat Rice Krispie treats. It's just, he does not give a shit about us. He's just, you know what you people do. Yeah. I don't want to see it, but buy my product.
It's, you've again, seen them, they're fucking pathetic, right?
It's also like the euphemistic language that they use. Like, it's like, bro, this isn't, you know, a fucking David Bowie track. People aren't under pressure right now. They're fucking broke. It's like, when the consumer, we find that as the consumers are under pressure. And then when they're like, hey, man, you sure you wanted to say that? Yeah, and he came back around to that shit like, again.
No. He said, are you sure that? I feel like the thing you just said could, quote, land the wrong way with consumers. And he's like, in fact, it's landing really well right now.
Yeah,
thanks.
Dude, here, watch him just go back around. He's like, you sure you want to say that you want to take that back?
It's landing really well right now, Carl. When we look at all of our data, of course, we would know that breakfast cereal is the number one choice for in-home consumption. We understand that for breakfast. It turns out that over 25% of our consumption is outside the breakfast occasion.
Is that right?
A lot of it's at dinner, and that occasion continues to grow, as well as the snacking occasion. But cereal for dinner is something that is probably more on trend now, and we would expect to continue as that consumer is under pressure.
Under pressure.
All he had to do was to just step into weed and say, look, stoners, do you want to buy some cereal? And he could have had a growth curve.
He's totally misunderstood that people are eating this shit as a treat outside of like dinner or outside of breakfast because it's like junk food. It's like a junk food. They don't think of this as like replacing fucking chicken, which is what their ad with starring Tony the Tiger suggests.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How about this? Ready for a fever dream?
All right. So here, let's get to that ad. This one is a YouTube video called Enjoy Kellogg's Cereal for Dinner. And it's a family at a dinner table at nighttime with Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, and Frosted Mini Wheats. And like bowls in front of everybody, a little apple and
carafe orange juice.
A carafe of orange juice.
That's how we all drink it, right?
Let that breathe.
When I say cereal, you say dinner. Cereal.
Dinner.
Cereal.
Dinner.
Chicken.
Whoa.
You can have the night off, chicken.
A chicken said.
Oh. Okay, I'll go marinate.
Cereal.
Dinner.
Wow. So the chicken's begging to be eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken, please
put me out of my misery.
It is like the sickest looking cartoon chicken you've ever seen. This is like, it's really thought stopping tactics where it's just like, I don't know, just yell cereal dinner at them.
Gruel.
Yeah. And then they'll start doing it because they're fucking idiots, man. Carl, I don't have to tell you this. Just the CEO shit where like people, where he's like, in fact, it's landing really well right now, Carl.
Whoa.
Like, hold on. Shit. He said my name. We're friends. I'm good with this.
Yeah.
This is a broad strategy I do think that it's the all the rich people have gotten together and are like, we need to sap them of willpower, feed them low protein diets like it's a cult, and then they won't be able, they won't start eating us.
They'll finally stop talking about cereal.
Low protein, high sugar, and like the corn subsidy of it all just insane. Mm-hmm. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the thing, too. I don't like unsolicited advice. So I didn't ask you, dude, like how to feed my family. So keep it to your damn self.
And they're not giving advice. Right. They're just shouting cereal and dinner at you.
Yeah. But you know, hey, listen, for all those struggling families, if you're under pressure, here's a tip. It's like, I didn't ask.
All these calls to eat the rich are making me uncomfortable. How about cereal, people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
eat the
like
cereal.
If you're quote, under pressure and you have to like have, you know, to feed your family with cereal, you're not feeding them like Frosted Flakes. You're feeding them the generic store brand.
Yes.
You're not using that stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah. In 2022, Kellogg's offered cash prizes for people who shared pictures of themselves eating their favorite Kellogg cereal for dinner on social media.
So dystopian.
Here you go. You want $5? Here you go. Take a picture of you and your sick little family eating our products. Yeah.
Throw that chicken in the fucking garbage. Yeah.
Make it look real poor.
Chicken. And then like the mom gives like a Jim from the Office look at the camera when telling the chicken like to take the night off. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, experts, again, these assholes, experts are saying that having cereal for dinner isn't a great idea because it's less healthy and far less economical. That's the other thing is it's the, like, these people like didn't even bother to think about whether it was a good deal.
Right.
They're just, yeah. They're like, I don't know. They're fucking lazy and tired. Just make them eat this shit. But it's less economical than other breakfast foods such as oatmeal, and even though eggs have gotten more expensive, like eggs are, you know, better bang for your buck because they do have protein, which a shocking amount of your calories are supposed to come from protein. I just like discovered this, that like, it's like you're supposed to have so many grams of protein on a daily basis. I think it's like 1 gram of protein for every pound you weigh on a daily basis.
That's about right.
Damn.
That's too much.
Yeah, well, you're bulking up pretty nice, dude. Because I know you said you're tripling that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. That Liver King shit got you just looking fucking swole, dude.
That's right. I eat 6 chicken livers to get up in the morning.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I don't know. Using America's gaping income inequality as a justification to relaunch a failed marketing campaign that would force families to eat sugary hunks of dried corn for dinner because they can't afford real food is shockingly not panning out for them. Mm-hmm. People are so pissed at the Kellogg CEO that TikTok is currently organizing a massive boycott, suggesting alternatives to Kellogg's products like buying eggs and using a waffle iron. And
get them where it hurts. Get a waffle iron.
Yeah.
I like the threatened use of a waffle iron.
Totally.
Don't make me use it.
Like pancakes, huh? Well, I'll take your spot. Waffles it is.
But yeah, I mean, Kella, like I think they, when they were trying to unionize, they were like threatening to fire all their employees and stuff. So
that's the real thing. It's just like the Trump where it's like, okay, I understand that we need to be upset about what this man said, but this CEO also did a huge anti-union push. And I want to be really upset about that. Like what he does as opposed to what he says, when obviously what he says in this case is worth being upset about, but still, can we talk about his anti-union stuff and bring that up every single time we're upset about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he oversaw like the move where they were like threatening to fire because people were fighting for a fair wage. He makes $4 million a year.
And, oh, well, so he's under pressure too.
Yeah, it's not easy to afford tickets to like wherever the fuck he was in that interview on CNBC. But it is, I mean, it really reminds me of the conversation we were having on yesterday's episode with Ed Zitron about just this rot economy, but also kind of locating it in the fact that the wealthy people who are making a lot of the decisions about what the companies do that kind of drive a lot of our day-to-day lives are completely isolated and insulated from any sort of feedback from actual people. The only thing they do, like, he went on this show and thought it was a good idea to be like, no, actually, our graphs, like, say this is fucking dynamite.
He's talking to the market.
And the guy was like, are you sure you want to say that?
Yeah.
And he was like, Carl, it's a fucking slam dunk, my man.
Yeah.
Like, just so confident and just, like, so willing to double down. It's, the whole, the world of people making the big decisions are completely, the only thing that they pay attention to is, like, Wall Street. And
totally. Hockey, you know, stick
they
graphs.
Watch fucking CNBC all day.
Well, yeah, because the whole time he was talking, they were showing a line graph of Kellogg's stock price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And that's him just making his pitch to the market. He's not talking to people, like the people who would buy the product. It's like, hey, man, you trying to draft off of our price gouging and kind of make a couple nickels for yourself? Well, here's our strategy. We're marketing directly to under pressure consumers to eat more crap that we sell on the cheap. That we're also, we raised prices by 28% over the last couple of years, but don't worry about that. It just means more money for you.
It's double fun inflation.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, guys, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Let's see. I've got a new podcast that's worth checking out. Very special episodes here on iHeart. There's other ones down the pike. What about you?
Ridiculous Crime every Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you want it, you can go to ridiculouscrime.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really state of the art website, and I think it's impressive because it's so far ahead of what everyone else is doing.
Very 2000 fun.
Yeah. And then we're on social media stuff. I don't know. Somewhere.
Allegedly.
Instagram. Every Tuesday and Thursday when an episode comes out, we supplement with all the photos for people to know what we're talking about.
There you go.
That's fun. That's where you can find us.
Amazing. Is there a work of media that you guys have been enjoying?
Work of media. Oh, okay. I'll have to admit
like
this
a
freely.
Tweet or.
Yeah. There was a tweet about how, I did find it. It said, and I quote, "Sad now more than ever that people slept on the new Mission Impossible, where Tom Cruise is told that AI control over finance and culture is inevitable, and the only way to avoid being left behind is to influence it ourselves." And his response is, "Nah, I'm going to kill it." Now, see, I'm with this. I all of a sudden, I am a Tom Cruise fan. I'm all aboard on the Tom Cruise train. Wasn't a fan before. Now it's me, MI versus AI, and I'm into it.
Kill that shit.
Yes.
Amazing. How about you, Elizabeth?
I have been really, it's an old one, but that clip from French television where Serge Gainsbourg is being feted by 30 some schoolboys dressed him with the cigarettes and the
and he's crying
glasses.
Yes,
and he's weeping, and I don't know, I just suddenly thought of it the other day, and I've been resending it to people. I'm not on Twitter. Yes. So this is other means, and I think my friends, my family are tired of me sending this to them. I was just, no, watch it again. It's so good.
It's inside into French culture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, the French.
That's high culture right there. Yeah.
That is just such a wild, that video just blows me away though, too.
Right?
Like, it's so absurd. You know what I mean? And like the song is so morose.
Yes.
And
like all these kids got cigarettes, and then you have Serge Gainsbourg who's like just smoking, being like,
weeping. Yeah. He is just brought low by this touching the emotion of it all, and it's like instead of him just sitting there with his jaw open like, what is this? No, he's
Vive la France
having 4 or 5 cigarettes
all at once.
That would be, if I got hit on the head, that would be the accent I came back with. My bad. Insulting approximation of a French accent.
Yes.
Say, yeah. Serge Gainsbourg would be interesting. You just wear denim jackets all the time. There's one clip of him performing Bonnie and Clyde where, like, he, like, times lighting a cigarette to the song starting, but, like, he's kind of old, and it, like, he kind of misses the beat, and it's, like, just real funny. He was like, oh, light my cigarette, pop my collar, and you're like, Serge, baby, I love that you just talk singing, baby. We love
that. Yeah.
Miles, what is a work of media you've been enjoying, and where can people find you?
You can find me at Miles of Gray, where they got the at symbols. You can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. You like 90 Day Fiancé? Catch me on 420-day fiancé. That's a 90-day podcast. And also, you can see me or listen to me on the latest episode of Jordan, Jesse, Go! And the last couple latest episodes of Behind the Bastards with Robert Evans. We were talking
about TB Joshua,
who was this Nigerian pastor who... you know the show. It's already some of the darkest figures
out
there.
Is he cool?
Dude, there's so many layers to this guy's fuckery. It's pretty mind-blowing.
Wow.
Like, even, like, kind of skillfully weaponizing white supremacy against European. It's just like, there's layers to this one. There's layers to this one. And, yeah, let's see. Some tweets I like. Let me pull up my likes. Okay, here's one from Fran at Wingewine tweeted, fun fact, if Celine Dion sang only the vowels in her name, it would be in the lyrics to Old MacDonald's Farm. And also at Gravy Mango tweeted, the Vietnamese stunned on the French so hard with the banh mi. If I were French, I'd be so embarrassed.
Humiliating.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Look at you, the state of you.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Tina Sieben at WNBA Wife tweeted, why does a can of biscuits open like that? Is life not scary enough? And Meth in June tweeted, how about you develop some male pattern kindness? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
So this is a track from Caroline Polachek, and it's called Spring Is Coming With a Strawberry in the Mouth. And this track is like super, like it's really all over the place. It feels like if like a, I don't know, like a 2020 version of like Kate Bush, but doing some real wild stuff with the production. It's kind of, I don't know, I really fuck with this track. It's super different and poppy, but a little bit eccentric. So this is Spring Is Coming With a Strawberry in the Mouth. And it's by Caroline Polachek, P-O-L-A-C-H-E-K.
All right, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.